Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. Wonderful having you with us here on the Vibrant Living Network. So right now, as you're listening, exhale. Just take a simple exhale and smile. Smile inwardly. You could smile into yourself. You could smile into your organs, your bones. You know, all that stuff feels your smile. I hung out with a man named Dr. Charles Scrobel. He wrote a book called The QR, Neurologist. It takes 2 seconds to impact your nervous system. So just a second, smile and exhale. Welcome to this format. We're so happy to have you with us. It's a continuing series with one of our co-hosts. This guy's going to give John a doctorate today. John Adago is the author of East Meets West, among other, not just teachings, but experience. John's been on the path of awakening and embodying the path for 45 years. And on today's format, we're really going to get into the body, the relationship between our body, our vibrant instrument, our ability to bring consciousness and awareness into it as a practice, as a lifestyle. And I want to welcome also Lisa LaRose, our executive producer, and Janet Carafa, who, the first time I met Janet, we did mine together. We did a performance. And I felt, well, it's been a very deep connection. She's also an inside teacher for vibrant speaking, which is a lot more than just speaking. And we'll get into this. We'll get into this because this is all stuff we haven't learned in conventional school. We haven't really learned the wonder of movement. And actually, I was talking to Lisa yesterday, and we were talking about the hips. So the hips, when you feel freedom in your hips, you feel light-spirited. You feel a different sense of things. So one of my teachers said to me, says that during the Depression, anybody that was suicidal, if he could get to them before they jumped out a window and took a walk, they didn't jump out a window. Walking's profound medicine. Well, I'm eager to dive in today deeply, John. And I want to welcome you, and I want to welcome the whole topic of our body. Are we soul and are we brain? And how these things come together with movement. And I know a lot of people ask me to have you make that connection between the body and what some people call consciousness. But a lot of times they say consciousness, but they don't see how it relates to the body. They don't view it as that powerful, wondrous connection. So here we are on my exhale. I'm speaking to you right now. As I exhale, I'm going to take a stretch. Welcome to our Vibrant Wisdom Lunch format here. So, John, welcome. What bubbles to you around the topic of consciousness in the body, and the wonder of movement in your experience?
Well, when we speak about waking up, the foundation is balance between the body, the emotions, and the mind. Presence starts by connecting through the five senses to the present moment and everything around us. So we actually look out and we listen to the furthest sound. We smell, we see, we touch. As a practical exercise, we begin by feeling our feet on the ground, or if we're sitting, feeling our weight in the chair, feeling the clothes as they hang on the skin, the play of air around our face. We sense the breath going in and out. This connects us to the present moment. The instincts are the foundation, and they're a very solid foundation. We all lead very busy lives where we're pulled about emotionally and intellectually all day long. And we often lose the sense of ourselves. Well, the way we come back to ourselves, the first step is to just acknowledge the physical existence. I am. Now, I am exists no matter what's going on around me, whether people are praising me or shouting at me, whether things are going well or there's things are going presenting difficulties. Either way, I am. That doesn't have to change. And sensing this physical presence is the foundation for wakefulness of awareness.
I laughed because someone was yelling at me the other day, and I asked him if he could stop yelling. He said to me, I could really shout at you. So I was laughing, and you said you could, you know. So what happens, we kind of give away, the grace of our nervous systems and our movement. It's such a remarkable topic, actually. So I want to share a quick story. And I want to welcome Lisa so deeply and Janet. And I had an experience where I did someone a favor, and a little girl had she's 12 years old, and she hit my car with her mother's car. So the mother came over, and she said, "Were you going to call the police?" And I said, "No." I said, "We could take care of this together." And I said, "Just crack the muffler." And long story short, I went to the – I took it there, and then he left – there was something he left in the car that I thought I took. And I realized I'd come out of my body in a way – and this happens just during the day, and my nervous system was just buzzing. And I went to see someone, and they gave me an experience of my bone marrow, as odd as that sounds. When you go to these different places in your body, like your bone marrow, you're in a different relationship with your body and your energy system. And it gave me it was almost like all the anxiety, the surface anxiety, went away when I was in bone marrow. So basically, we go into a different part of our body. As an example, there's a space behind your eyes, like right now, to become aware of the space behind your eyes. There's a space there. So in the day, when you check these spaces out, they open up our awareness. Lisa, the write-up today, I loved, we're talking about the vibrant instrument, we're talking about this we experience, so that when we come together at a retreat, and we're going to be at Janet's wonderful place in Kauai, and regularly do things on vibrant retreating there, we can actually experience more of ourselves in relation to people in the room. Because this, when we open up the space, like as an example, the space behind your eyes, the space behind your kneecaps, these spaces that we kind of shut down. Imagine right now if you live in a mansion and you live in one room. That's how most of us experience our bodies. We get used to we notate things through chronic tension or holding. But to begin to open this up and experience it, it's like another whole level of paradise, if you will. Lisa, why don't you go ahead and read? You have a beautiful quote for today and a write-up. Let's welcome in the program at another level by the write-up, which always sets a beautiful tone.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. First, I just want to share with you, sometimes, you know, and John comment on sort of the unexpected quotes that arise. And part of what led me to this particular teaching from John was the fact that I've been cleaning my office, and I picked up a business card that I was kind of going through, and it was for a company called Mother Fireflies. And so, you know, I'm looking through John's book, and I pick up East Meets West, and I happen to look down at chapter 4, which is on Willem Nyland, and right underneath there is the word firefly. So that in and of itself, and then that made me think of John's tale about, you know, the firefly and the blinking. And for those of you who didn't hear the program, I'm going to ask John to share that again. But, you know, and as I was reading through it and contemplating the words of wisdom that, you know, Glenn had been sharing around movement, sure enough, I found within that chapter, the story of John's experience and what he learned through William Nyland and Willem Nyland. And so the quote comes from the book by John Adago, East Meets West. And it says, Gurdjieff collected sacred dances, special exercises, and music that had a powerful effect. The movements required full participation of the body and the mind, while the emotions responded to the music. They could be done with the finest quality. They could be done with the finest quality of attention. If the mind wandered for a split second, you would be either out of step or in the wrong position. The effect of these classes was to integrate the function of mind, heart, and body, and heighten awareness to a state rarely experienced. That's it. And so we went on to say that in tuning the vibrant instrument, you discover, expression of expansion and contraction, and that, movement and music allows us to bring our full attention to the mind, body, and heart, so we can evolve in ways that we never thought were possible. Now, in the writings, John, I found it so fascinating. You said that some of the experiences of these sacred dances that you stood in rows with a teacher, and there was a piano player up in front, and there were precise positions and movements executed in time to the piano. And then I found this exceptionally fascinating that mental calculations based on the law of seven and the Enneagram were required. The powerful music gathered, Gurdjieff, that he gathered in his travels, was arranged for the piano collaboration. And so I can imagine, what it was like to be in those classes, and as you moved, whether they be, maybe you could share a little bit more about that experience and how you bring it to your work and what people could expect from you in regards to that when they come to your retreat.
In Kauai.
Yeah, Kauai, with Janet.
Janet.
Yes.
I like how you did it.
Is John still here?
Well, are you calling on Janet or John?
I was just acknowledging that, John, you're going to be in Kauai. So I said in Kauai with Janet because we are one vibrant team here. No, it was for you, John.
Well, special movements and exercises have always been a part of esoteric groups. Yoga came out of ashrams in India. And those methods and exercises are thousands of years old. Tai Chi is a similar exercise. What they're seeking to do is to find a balance between the body, the heart, and the mind. We run all day long pretty much on emotional energy, and the phone rings and the bell rings and people call and you get bills in the mail and events happen, that it's a bit of a roller coaster. And we tend to ride the roller coaster. We're kind of stuck with the ups and the downs. And really, the aim is to not be on the roller coaster, to be an observer that just watches things go up and down, but they don't affect who and what I am. So one of the practices or the work that proceeds is like, well, how are you going to control this emotional center? These emotions are so volatile, so rapidly changing from one to another. And we find that they really take us along, that we do not control them. Well, in India, the way they train an elephant, a rogue elephant, is they harness it between two strong elephants and walk it through its paces. And this is how we begin to get some control over our emotional life. We develop a strong body, instinctive body. We feed it in a certain way through exercises like the movements or yoga or Tai Chi or just regular exercise and walking or physical disciplines like martial arts. These strengthen the instinctive center, the body. Then we strengthen the mind by exposing it to the words of the wise, to scripture, to sources that inspire us, that open us, that clear us. And as the mind will take any color dye that you dip it in. So if you dip it in the superficial and just excitement and entertainment that doesn't have much substance, it isn't fed. It's like feeding the body poor food. You have to feed the mind the finest, just like you feed the body the finest. So this work is a matter of developing this mental center through study and through observation and through practice of certain kinds of exercises of simply waking up, of being aware of your surroundings. And that awareness includes you in the picture. We're often aware of the behavior of the people around us and often oblivious to our own behavior.
Yes.
And the effect that our words and actions are having on the people around us. And sometimes we do or we say something and it's inappropriate and it upsets somebody.
Yes.
Or sets somebody off in a wrong direction. And then we experience this regret because we realize that we set this person kind of down the yellow brick road and we had no intention of doing it. It's just that our behavior and our words weren't really under control.
Yes.
So the aim is this balance, and the foundation of the balance is the physical instinctive center, the physical body. And we all know that you spend a certain amount of energy, you know, eating well and exercising and just generally trying to keep the body in good condition and in good health. But it's more than just for the body. It's for the well-being of the entire being.
You know, one of the things, I was going to tie this to science. I spoke last year at the conference at Harvard on the cognition movement in the body. And one of the people that I met previously was a cardiologist. And instead of actually prescribing medication, he actually had a birdwatching group. And when people began to birdwatch, their physiology changed significantly. So there's one thing missing in our lives that I think is a great, profound medicine. And I would acknowledge one of the greatest books on that helped me, or was the publisher of the Saturday Evening Post that had written a book called Anatomy of an Illness. And it was all about this idea that play is essential, sports are not essential. So I would go up and I'd play volleyball and I would skip and stop everybody following the other team. And I realized I'd go there and I'd have a laugh. I would just laugh a lot. And so for no good reason, consider laughter as a, you know, part of your day. And because when we laugh and we get oxygen, we move. Actually, I had a wonderful conversation, John, with Janet about how awareness is self-correcting. So I realized that the only thing I would say that I would comment about is that the idea that there's a wrong movement or not the correct movement, that awareness is a, and particularly what I might call relational awareness, kind of like I've been playing with these Filipino sticks. And I realize when I'm playing with the sticks with someone and I really want to set them up to hit this, because there's something called, it's called this, it's a six movement process. And it's so much fun. So I was discussing this, the idea, and we do this with our speakers. So with our speakers, we have people play with hula hoops, and we have them skip. So they get used to this idea that flow occurs. Flow occurs, which I want to ask you. And Janet, since we have the conversation, and you work with people in yoga, I love this idea that self-correcting awareness is the context that we play and move from, so that, because people bring that mentality, the self-imposed concern they're not doing something right. And when they feel that they're not doing something right, it inhibits the natural play and flow that we could bring to things. And this is particularly true when I work with speakers. And so it's the self-correcting flow, the idea that what your body is doing is always correct. When, in the beginning from the quote, all symptoms are healing in progress. So the context of holding that all symptoms are healing in progress, particularly relationally, particularly that when we come to a group. This friend of mine called me once. He was in a group for like 24 years for fibromyalgia. And he called me up in Max Rivers. He said, "Glenn, I think the group's making me sick." I said, "Why?" He goes, "I'm beginning to believe that I'm helpless." And he went out to Colorado and he said he met someone and he said it was almost like the pipes came back on the house. So the mechanical mindset or the rigid mindset gets in the way sometimes of this. Right now, as you're listening, there's a flow of movement in your body. Like I've been waving my spine. Like, you know, this feeling into these new movements. You know, we have a child has, I think, five, you know, like hundreds and hundreds of movements. The average adult has like 86 movements. What happened? So, Janet, I'd love you to comment about awareness. I know you might have an exercise that kind of adds to what John's sharing about these movements. So the movements for a lot of people, you know, they don't think about it. Like walk backwards on the way to your car some days. Just kind of trust that your body has the answer right now. Janet.
Yes. okay. Yeah. Well, with yoga and with mime, I have done both, and I call it the yoga of mime. And basically, from what John said about finding the I am and touching, I look at it as touching the I am is being,
Chris is actually playing a special musical piece under you speaking. No, we're actually going to take a brief pause.
Okay.
We're going to take a brief pause, and you'll continue with your song. So there's two songs.
Right.
You'll definitely continue. There's only two songs in any moment. The song of your wonder, the song of your realness, and your movement are the counterfeit songs. So right now, tune into that wonder of movement, who you really are right now. We'll continue in a moment with Vibrant Living Network. John,
the Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Well, mine's there tomorrow. It's going to be tough. Welcome to Vibrant Living Network. Your life could really be a life with vital rhythmic pulsations. The same way a toddler, you know, those wonderful moments when the toddler or the baby or the child falls, that they just roll. What happened? What happened is you forgot to participate in those movements. We're talking with John Adago about the rediscovering of the movement, how that relates to consciousness. Jenna Carafa was just speaking, Lisa LaRose with us. Jenna, you were just saying before Chris played that wonderful musical piece under your talk.
Yes. So an exercise, a simple exercise that brings these ideas together, and I'm just going to summarize what you guys have discussed. Touching, the finding the I am, and then you mentioned, Glenn, about the space, feeling the space behind the eye,
yes.
Feeling the space
yes.
in the joints, feeling, and that's the Akash, which is the sky. And then we continued talking about the symphony of the mental, physical, spiritual, emotional bodies. Working all together. So that's what this exercise, and then the joy of it and laughter. So if whether sitting or standing, I'd just like you to align yourself with gravity. So if you're sitting, find your spine from the tailbone up out the top of the head, and so that the head is right above the tailbone, which is right above the center of the earth and then continues up out to the universe. So there's a plumb line that comes from the universe down through the top of the head or the back of the head, down through the neck, down through the spine, and out the tailbone down to the center of the earth. And so when you sit there aligned, you're exactly in gravity. So it's almost that you're not holding one point up. The physics of your body is exactly balanced so that you're relaxed. So you can absolutely relax and feel the space around you, that the gravity that is aligning you, and that you're in alignment here with gravity. So if you go there and go within and find that alignment and just breathe and feel the relaxation of being aligned like that, not having to hold anything, you're just being held up by gravity, and breathe. And if you go within, and this may be personal to me, but I don't think so. When I do this, I feel like I'm being tickled inside, like I find the energetic place that's holding me up, and it tickles, and it makes me laugh a little. And you have to relax, though, to find that. It's about really softening and having that sensory, and then you're right there, present. And that's where spontaneity comes from. So the mental, so we'll just give it a moment. So let everybody just breathe softly. You can close your eyes, go within, and just feel the sensory awareness of the skin with the space, the air on your skin. Now go within a little deeper. And find your organs and inner organs and scan the body. And then find the spine and find the spinal cord. And find the line that's holding it up. And breathe. Wow. In that moment, I don't know if you felt it, but everyone who was experiencing that, we were very connected. It's a huge way to begin, to connect with the body, the mind, the spirit, the mental, the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional with the divine physics, the physics of the universe. And it's really that simple. So just doing that.
It's beautiful. No, it's very beautiful, Janet.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful.
Thank you.
Welcome. I can continue maybe later talking about the emotion aerobics. I had mentioned it last week, but we didn't go into it too much. But that is a way to... So the mental is the mental body, and the physical body, the spiritual, there's a spiritual body, and the emotional, there's an emotional body. So you can actually define, I mean, it's all one ultimately, but if you define it, you can go in and aerobicize, do aerobics. I have this emotional aerobics that I discovered doing mime, teaching mime to kids and adults, and we activate and bring awareness to the emotional body and step in and step out of it so that it's actually we're not stuck identifying with one emotion or two emotions, or whenever the strong emotion comes and it takes us over, that we get stuck in it, that we can have space, find this space in the thought, in the emotion, to step in and out, to have the awareness of what Glenn was talking about, that when we're actively in one of these, in a negative emotion or a positive emotion, that we can actually observe from the outside and have the ability to have a wider vision for a moment and then come back into it. And having that wider vision of it is basically the awareness is having the full, the most healing aspect of it, the full, like that we are in harmony, even though we do fall into extremes and feel stuck in there. But if you have the awareness that you're in that extreme, that is the awakening. That is the healing of it. So then you can go in and explore it. So that's what these different exercises do. It gives you the space to look at it from the awareness, from your awareness.
I love what you said earlier about John and Lisa. I had this moment that happened with Lisa the other day, which I'll share. So we have a local mind and we have a non-local mind. And when we ease into our body, sometimes what happens is that other mind opens, that beyond the local mind, beyond the local mind effect. And so we come together in a group and we practice both retreating and forwarding. So the idea we're not just retreating and pulling back, but we're allowing the expansion and the pulsation to move and move us forward. Because sometimes people just retreat and then the world seems overwhelming. So what you do is you practice retreating and then moving forward. I was talking to Lisa, and she said something that popped me into my beyond my local mind of this. She just talked about hula hooping, and I immediately felt a sense of grace and ease in my body. So when you do any movement and you feel it in your body, like with Janice exercise, that imagery it has a buoyancy. So like in the morning, I'll give you an example. I teach my speakers to get up in the morning and to see their claims. So I don't teach goals. I think goals get in the way. I teach claims. So a claim might be, I want to be at Carnegie Hall speaking. And I'll have them see themselves at Carnegie Hall and shoot an arrow into that. So like in the sky, there's a bullseye with them speaking at Carnegie Hall. And I'll say, pay attention to the feeling state. And couples could do this too. And it happened, I had this experience at Lisa, and it was so funny when she talked about the hula hoop. All the energy, but what happened in my body was I had the feeling of the rotation in my hips because I've done so many rounds of hoop, but not for a while. So this non-local mind effect is this, I feel, is the source of healing accompanied with the imagery. Imagery to me is the most powerful here on the planet. So I just love that the exercise and that Janet notated to us that awareness that we're beyond the local mind together. And the purpose of the retreats and the forwarding is, and when John comes and we all get together, is you have that experience and you practice it with awareness, repetitively with awareness. Because like just how Janet did that, I love that. Because in my local mind, it was kind of like, oh, we're just doing the exercise. And then Janet said, well, could you feel the resonation? And then we go to this other place of music and with the thunder of that sound, you know, the shared coherence with Dr. Norm Shilley paid $1 million to do the study on coherence. Coherence is the highest predictor of our longevity, how long we live, and the experience of radiant health in our bodies. So when we're in coherence together, that shifts how we experience our vibrant instrument together. Lisa, go back to Lisa's got another beautiful voice. Lisa, what's your, what's ringing you, what's singing in you?
You know, as you talk and listening to both Janet and John speak, I think you know, what I notice is, and I was just speaking with this with a gentleman yesterday, that as we age or as we get settled into our beliefs or whatever, we get very rigid.
Yeah.
And we don't move. We don't move the hips. We forget about the movement that keeps us flexible and loose and whatnot. And what happens, and I thought it was a perfect analogy, is that as we age, people tend to shuffle and they lose that beautiful connection that Janet was talking about, that connection up above where you have that string and it lengthens you, and you start to see a different posture where people become rounded, and you know, and in that shuffling people become unstable. And I think that it's a perfect analogy for, you know, what is happening in the world today. You know, that you know, there's a certain thing that people want to reconnect to. They don't want to be rigid in their movement. They like to seek out, you know, the ancient wisdom, but be able to make it very touchable and reachable for what is, you know, really pertinent. Because I think, you know, in the media, it's easy to focus on the things that are the opposite of positive and get, you know, as John was saying, you know, kind of, you know, that becomes the stronger elephant that's pulling you. You know, I would prefer to be, you know, nudged a different direction. And I know that John, you're going to be connecting with Janet and Glenn in person, but Glenn and you may not know this, but Glenn and Janet had an opportunity to share the stage. And I was unfortunately not able to be there, but maybe Janet, you could sort of share, because in mime you have movement with the, and it becomes your way of expression. And you know, perhaps, you know, you could share a little bit about what it's like.
We will continue. We'll continue. Thank you so much.
We will.
Lisa. Thank you.
Yes. Beautiful.
And Janet will continue, and John Adago. And pick someone, no matter what you're doing, I want you to change the movement right now. If you're going slow, I want you to pick up the speed. I want you to play with your movement. Play with it like a child. Stay with us. Your life's precious. Enjoy. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We're back. We're continuing. We're live here on the Vibrant. Yeah, we're back. I think we're back. Yeah. Actually, we're forward, Janet. We're forward here with Jonna Dago, Lisa LaRose, and yourself. Yeah. Please continue, Janet.
Okay. Well, Lisa brought up our performance together. And that
one of the most miracle moments of my life. Thank
well,
you,
it
by
was
the way.
It was quite an experience for me, too. And I'm going to, I have been taught to, I've been studying mime and performing it being choreographed and by Marcel Marceau and very specifically and this and that and with the American Mime Theater. So I have this experience as a professional, right? And so I just want to first tell a story about as a yoga teacher, when I was first starting to teach, I was teaching the class, and it starts with almost an hour of standing postures, which really gets the heart pumping, cardiovascular workout, and then everybody lies down on the floor. We go into Savasana, the first formal Savasana on the floor, and lying on the back, and it's for 2 minutes. And so what happened was, it's the first, one of the first times I watched, I was leading the class, so I wasn't in it doing it, and I was watching everybody. So I said, okay, Savasana, most important posture of the series, the time of relaxation, of integration, of irrigation of the body. Everyone lies down and eyes open, Savasana. And all of a sudden, I saw something that moved me forever.
Really?
I saw everyone's hearts beating. And that was just what was happening. Everyone's lying down on their back. And their hearts were, it was like this beautiful flow, and everybody's heart was beating. I started crying. I mean, it was so beautiful. I don't know why I had never seen it that way before, but that was just an experience that I had, that I got to see our hearts beating together, the we of the yoga, the we of the connection. That here is the energetic connection that I got to see. Now, I'm always
so
experiencing it, and I. So then here we are. Here I am at this beautiful talk theater with these doctors of physics and amazing people that you had there speaking, which you can probably list. And I got to, and I'm the mime. I'm there.
Yeah.
And you're, and I'm like, wow, this is cool. So anyway, and I'm used to performing my own choreography within the realm of my own, of the music and, and I've developed it. And then I realized, whoa, no, we're going to open the wall. We're going to do, I have this, the traditional, so to speak, wall mime piece where I do it with Herbie Hancock music and I break through the invisible wall. And I wanted to do it with you, Glenn, because we were going to
open
the fourth wall of the stage
to open up the
speaking. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm going to have to rehearse with him. That's what my inside.
I guess I'm the him in that story, huh?
Yes, yes. I have to get him over here, and I have to teach him what to do, right? So anyway,
sounds concerning.
But then of course there wasn't time, and it was time to go on, and the music started, and there we were, and there
I know
we just merged. So it was beautiful, and it taught me that our hearts are pumping together like the yoga people on the floor, the yogis, that all I have to do is relax and join forces with our energy. And that's what happened there. It was quite beautiful, which is why it is so memorable, I think. It was for both of us.
Yes.
So it wasn't about my performing my piece to perfection or you, you know, for some reason we joined in this energetic motion,
yeah.
Hearts beating together, breathing together, breaking down the wall together, and it was magical.
Hmm. Yeah. Except that, by the way, Lisa, you got to come to the next Vibrant Living Summit thank you.
Well, but actually, you know, could experience probably, you know, I know you and John are bubbling with lots of exciting things for the upcoming retreat. Now,
yes.
John, I would ask you, are there moments in your journey where you experienced similar things, where you were in a practice or you're in a setting where you too tuned into something as unique as what Janet just shared?
Well, yes. I mean, the purpose of weekends and retreats and intensive exercises where you step away from the normal responsibilities and concerns of your life, and you go to a special place, and you go to a place where conditions are arranged so that you spend as much time in touch with yourself. You have as many of these conscious moments as you can. Consciousness is measured in frequency and duration. So there are times when the question is like, how many times during the day do I actually come to a sense of myself where the attention goes out, comes out of the inner world of inner conversations and inner feelings and movements, and actually comes out and connects with the things and people around us, where we see them and we're sensitive to their needs and we're sensitive to what they're feeling and experiencing. Well, this is, if we live what's called a measured life or a life with some discipline, where we get up at a reasonable hour, we go to bed at a reasonable hour, we eat our meals at a regular time, we have perhaps a period of meditation or a period of study, and we have a little bit of time, a few minutes at various times during the day, that we take to wake up, to come in touch with ourselves and our environment. Well, we can do this to some extent on our own, but these practices are greatly supported by the presence of a group who are engaged in the same activity. We're involved in talks. We're perhaps hearing the same material or inspirational matter. We're doing exercise such as yoga, where we're sharing this experience in common. And as a result of that, through the day, you wake up more often. Now, these moments may only be a few moments or a minute or 90 seconds or perhaps a couple of minutes, and then we tend to drift back into our own little worlds, our private worlds. But then we come back out a little bit sooner. So the frequency increases, and then over a period of days, you experience this awakened state. This is what an exercise or an intensive is about, to create conditions where the participants experience an awakened state. We've referred to it as experiencing the remarkable. Mm-hmm. This is the work that all the master teachers spoke about and wrote about.
That was very, John, was interesting when Janet repeated that, and this is so profound about anybody that's going through some kind of healing crisis, is that the imagery, when Janet spoke, I could feel in my body, I got happier, I felt lighter, I felt totally connected to Janet. When I met Janet at the theater and we got up on stage, it changed the whole way the rest of the day went. It was such a arriving, and that's why as a matchmaker, vibrant matchmaking, I go beyond dating to relating. The relating that I had and the sense of trust, God, it was so, I could feel it right now in my body. I could feel it. So the idea is we have this experience, We notate the awareness. We start to develop new imagery, reference points, and we begin to shift. I did a whole series once on going, not getting back to normal, but actually going to aliveness. So the aliveness that I felt and I shared with Janet. And also the other thing about it was is we were going beyond the wall together, all the social screens, all the things that hold us back, and discovering a path together. We're going to share that with people, Janet, because I could just feel. I could feel the tears and the happiness when Lisa – by the way, you can go to YouTube and look up Unscripted Power, Unscripted Power. So there's some videos on there. And Janet speaks, and you'll see all these wonderful people. It was all spontaneous. We didn't rehearse anything. So John, God, what can I say? I'm just almost a little speechless. Someone else speak for a second. I'm really moved by it. I'm so happy, Janet, that it touches me so deeply that my son says to me, I said, you touch a lot of people's lives. He goes, no, Dad, I impact people. There's something touching, that imagery of the hearts beating and hearts beating together, the I that is we, the we that we share when we actually move together. It's a very distinct, wondrous thing that we'll share at the retreats, our vibrant retreats and forwards with John Adago, John Acarafa, Lisa LaRose, and you, and Kauai.
Yeah.
I see myself on a plane. It's going to be a new experience.
A wonderful experience.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I can imagine so much of what's going to unfold this retreat, and Janet and Glenn, that you know, it's going to be a place that people haven't been before, and as Janet said, you know, you whatever your conceptions are that you think that it'll be rehearsed or whatever, when you get into that space, it's going to unfold as it's meant to. And the people that are meant to be there will be there. And I'm sure that as you discuss more of the details, you'll share them with the audience. Are there any things that you would like to sort of let people know is like a little teaser of what you have in store with you and Janet?
Teaser moments.
Okay, yes. Well, I can...
I just want to say that was better than hearing about my... That was as powerful as hearing about my birth experience. That's how powerful it was. So I want to do that exercise with everybody. I want to do that exercise. So go ahead, Jen. I'm sorry.
Well, John, at the retreat, everybody who comes to the retreat is going to have at least an hour privately with John, which is very deep. So, John, would you like to just tell us a little bit about that opportunity?
Well, it depends on where the person is. Are they meditating regularly? What is their practice like? We could meditate together. There are techniques and methods for deepening the quality of the meditation, of learning how to fall still, become really still within yourself, to touch your own spiritual center, your life force, the force that animates you. That's the experiential part of it. And the other would be questions and answers that individuals would have about their spiritual work, where they feel they are, in the hopes that we can shed some light and illuminate the step before them, and then perhaps give them some tools and practical exercises on how to take that step.
Let me just do this. Janet, give out the website for the retreat right now, Janet, because I want to make sure we get the website out right now. And we'll give John's website out.
Okay.
We've only got a minute to go.
Okay.
Sorry, John. I just want to get these out.
Okay. Sorry.
All right.
Go to hot yoga Princeville, PRINCEVILLE.com, hotyogaprinceville.com, and go to retreats. And you'll see a description of the retreat, and you can click on the link and ask any questions, and there are phone numbers there too. So you could call. You could call me or John, and you could talk to us about it. You'll see the dates. You'll see actually a whole timeline of the day. It's like the most amazing. it'll be spectacular retreat ever. So go take a look at that, and it's on the island of Kauai, which is a vortex. It's just all you have to do is come and land on Kauai, and you're going to be in a beautiful spot right near the beach, walking distance from the beach, and doing yoga, doing meditation.
John, thank you, Janet. And John, go ahead, give out your website, please. And thank you, Lisa. You set that up so beautifully. John, go ahead.
It's thejourneyback.net, thejourneyback.net. The books are Ancient Wisdom Can Enrich Your Life Today and East Meets West, and they're all both available on Amazon.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Lisa, deeply. Thank you, Janet, deeply. Thank you, guys. Your life precious and joy, and I'm Glenn Brooks with the Vibrant Living Network. Speak to you soon. Go out and play. Notice your breath. The blessing of life's right here. It's wonderful to share it with you.